Egzamin maturalny z języka angielskiego. Poziom rozszerzony. Usłyszysz dwukrotnie teksty do zadań od pierwszego do trzeciego. Przed wysłuchaniem każdego tekstu usłyszysz dźwięk. W nagraniu przewidziane są przerwy na zapoznanie się z poleceniami oraz treścią zadań sygnalizowane dźwiękiem. Rozwiązuj poszczególne zadania w trakcie słuchania nagrań oraz w czasie przerw po ich wysłuchaniu. Zadanie pierwsze. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
One. And now, a new story from Chicago. The Willis Tower boasts an observation deck that is situated on the 103rd floor. If that's not scary enough, the deck is made of glass and protrudes from the building. Now imagine this glass deck cracking while there are tourists on it. This is exactly what happened last week to three tourists observing the panorama of the city. They were terrified when they saw a web of cracks underfoot and hurried back into the building. However, a Willis Tower spokesperson said at a press conference yesterday that there's no reason to be alarmed. The glass structure is sound, and what cracked was the protective coating designed to keep the deck from getting scratched. The deck remains closed while crews are carrying out repairs on the protective coating.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
1. And now, a new story from Chicago. The Willis Tower boasts an observation deck that is situated on the 103rd floor. If that's not scary enough, the deck is made of glass and protrudes from the building. Now imagine this glass deck cracking while there are tourists on it. This is exactly what happened last week to three tourists observing the panorama of the city. They were terrified when they saw a web of cracks underfoot and hurried back into the building. However, a Willis Tower spokesperson said at a press conference yesterday that there's no reason to be alarmed. The glass structure is sound, and what cracked was the protective coating designed to keep the deck from getting scratched. The deck remains closed while crews are carrying out repairs on the protective coating. Two.
Hello. I saw the advertisement outside. Do you happen to know if the vacancy is still available?
As far as I know, it is.
Are you by any chance familiar with the terms of the tenancy agreement?
The rent is £900 a month and a 12-month lease is required. The owner pays for the gas, but the tenant pays for all other utilities. To move in, you have to pay a deposit.
Is it a safe neighbourhood?
Absolutely. I patrol the property every hour. We have surveillance cameras and all tenants know one another.
Would it be possible for me to see the flat?
I'm afraid I can't leave my post and I'm not allowed to show you round the property, but I'll call the landlord. Please take a seat for a moment.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
2.
Hello. I saw the advertisement outside. Do you happen to know if the vacancy is still available?
As far as I know, it is.
Are you by any chance familiar with the terms of the tenancy agreement?
The rent is £900 a month and a 12-month lease is required. The owner pays for the gas, but the tenant pays for all other utilities. To move in, you have to pay a deposit.
Is it a safe neighbourhood?
Absolutely. I patrol the property every hour. We have surveillance cameras and all tenants know one another.
Would it be possible for me to see the flat?
I'm afraid I can't leave my post and I'm not allowed to show you round the property, but I'll call the landlord. Please take a seat for a moment. Three.
April the 25th was the hottest April day on record, with temperatures hitting 29 degrees, and the following night might have been a sleepless one for many Londoners. Have you ever wondered why it's hard to fall asleep on a hot night? Studies show that it is body temperature that determines how well one sleeps. Generally, when we fall asleep, our body temperature naturally decreases by 1 to 2 degrees compared to the temperature during wakefulness. It is believed that this way our organism conserves energy for other functions. However, on either hot or cold nights, your body struggles to reach the optimal body temperature, and this leads to sleep disorders.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
3.
April the 25th was the hottest April day on record, with temperatures hitting 29 degrees, and the following night might have been a sleepless one for many Londoners. Have you ever wondered why it's hard to fall asleep on a hot night? Studies show that it is body temperature that determines how well one sleeps. Generally, when we fall asleep, our body temperature naturally decreases by 1 to 2 degrees compared to the temperature during wakefulness. It is believed that this way our organism conserves energy for other functions. However, on either hot or cold nights, your body struggles to reach the optimal body temperature, and this leads to sleep disorders.
Zadanie drugie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Speaker 1.
It's obvious that advertisers want to rent land to put up billboards in close proximity to public roads. Drivers can read them and get influenced by the images and slogans, which in turn make them buy the advertised goods. But in my opinion, strange things can happen, all within the law, when the government needs the land for a public purpose. For instance, the replacement of the Lafayette Bridge in St. Paul, Minnesota, required a number of billboards to be taken down. The state authorities settled with the billboard owners and paid them substantial damages from public funds. It's not right, in my opinion.
Speaker 2. I consider billboards very useful. I get stuck in traffic jams for about an hour on my way to work and back home. Billboards help me overcome boredom, and their illumination keeps me awake behind the wheel after dark. It's true that some of them show things I'm not interested in at all, but they also present important issues that can raise our awareness. The message on one billboard stuck in my mind so powerfully that I switched to LED lighting and stopped leaving the bulbs turned on in an empty room. Speaker 3.
Last week, I experienced something I had read about in a study done by a Swedish research team. They found that billboards took drivers' eyes off the motorways for significant periods of time, posing a potential threat for everyone on the road. I myself got distracted by flashy lights on a billboard inviting people to Las Vegas hotels and smashed my classy Cadillac to pieces. What happened in Sweden is that the government ordered an opinion poll among its citizens, and as a result, they took the decision to remove all adverts along the roads. I wonder whether anybody cares about the impact of billboards on drivers in our country.
Speaker 4. I'm a professional driver, so I'm exposed to billboards day and night. Some can even have an educational impact, like those pointing to the consequences of reckless driving. However, there is one thing that irritates me. I read that there are almost 700,000 billboards on federal roads, and the number is growing. But only 450,000 of them are permitted to be there. It has become a habit to put up billboards illegally, which means substantial loss of income from property tax for local authorities.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Speaker 1.
It's obvious that advertisers want to rent land to put up billboards in close proximity to public roads. Drivers can read them and get influenced by the images and slogans, which in turn make them buy the advertised goods. But in my opinion, strange things can happen, all within the law, when the government needs the land for a public purpose. For instance, the replacement of the Lafayette Bridge in St. Paul, Minnesota, required a number of billboards to be taken down. The state authorities settled with the billboard owners and paid them substantial damages from public funds. It's not right, in my opinion.
Speaker 2. I consider billboards very useful. I get stuck in traffic jams for about an hour on my way to work and back home. Billboards help me overcome boredom, and their illumination keeps me awake behind the wheel after dark. It's true that some of them show things I'm not interested in at all, but they also present important issues that can raise our awareness. The message on one billboard stuck in my mind so powerfully that I switched to LED lighting and stopped leaving the bulbs turned on in an empty room. Speaker 3.
Last week, I experienced something I had read about in a study done by a Swedish research team. They found that billboards took drivers' eyes off the motorways for significant periods of time, posing a potential threat for everyone on the road. I myself got distracted by flashy lights on a billboard inviting people to Las Vegas hotels and smashed my classy Cadillac to pieces. What happened in Sweden is that the government ordered an opinion poll among its citizens, and as a result, they took the decision to remove all adverts along the roads. I wonder whether anybody cares about the impact of billboards on drivers in our country.
Speaker 4. I'm a professional driver, so I'm exposed to billboards day and night. Some can even have an educational impact, like those pointing to the consequences of reckless driving. However, there is one thing that irritates me. I read that there are almost 700,000 billboards on federal roads, and the number is growing. But only 450,000 of them are permitted to be there. It has become a habit to put up billboards illegally, which means substantial loss of income from property tax for local authorities.
Zadanie trzecie. Przeczytaj polecenie i zapoznaj się z treścią zadania.
Many people dream about quitting their jobs for a life in paradise. Our guest today is a woman who didn't just dream about it, she actually did it. Meet Noelle Hancock, who gave up a $95,000 job and moved to the Caribbean island of St. John to scoop ice cream. Few people have enough courage to make such a big change. But you did. What made you do it?
It all began 4 years ago, after I finished writing my book. I was a 31-year-old journalist living in Manhattan, in a lovely neighbourhood with every imaginable convenience and form of entertainment. Still, I was beginning to feel more and more disheartened and lonely. It was getting me down. When the book was published, I got an attractive job offer, and although it was very tempting, I chose adventure and packed my bags.
There are about 2 million people living in Manhattan. How can one feel lonely there?
New York is a competitive city. You have to spend most of your time working to afford to live there. And a downside of living among so many ambitious people is they're often overscheduled. Sometimes I didn't see my closest friends for months. Trying to negotiate a time to meet a friend for a chat was harder than getting into college. I know it's ironic to feel lonely in such a big city, but it seemed I spent my life staring at screens, laptop, phone, iPad. I was just fed up with that.
What's the island you're living on like?
It's really small. The island's main town, Cruz Bay, has just a few winding roads and a handful of open-air bars and restaurants. There are no traffic lights, no chain stores, and access to Wi-Fi is limited. Shoes are optional. We get everywhere on foot or by car, mainly in beaten-up Jeeps, because no one cares what kind of car you drive. We shower and wash our stuff in filtered rainwater, collected in cisterns attached to the house. I have plenty of time to see my friends, and on my days off, I hike, dive, or go boating to the nearby islands.
And where do you see yourself in the future?
That question reminds me of my job interviews. I was often asked, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" It always seemed a depressing notion to know what you'd be doing 5 years in the future. Lately, I've been thinking of moving somewhere entirely different. Europe, perhaps? There are so many places to go. Who knows where I'll end up? Living abroad has exposed me to a different approach to life, one in which you're not expected to settle down or tie yourself to a place by running a business or having a long-term contract.
And the last question. What message would you like to pass on to our listeners?
Well, many people aren't living in the moment. They're waiting for some indeterminate time in the future when they've saved up enough vacation days and money to take a trip somewhere. But if you're constantly longing for a vacation, maybe what you really want is a new life. You should seriously take this option into consideration.
Wysłuchaj nagrania jeszcze raz.
Many people dream about quitting their jobs for a life in paradise. Our guest today is a woman who didn't just dream about it, she actually did it. Meet Noelle Hancock, who gave up a $95,000 job and moved to the Caribbean island of St. John to scoop ice cream. Few people have enough courage to make such a big change. But you did. What made you do it?
It all began 4 years ago, after I finished writing my book. I was a 31-year-old journalist living in Manhattan in a lovely neighborhood with every imaginable convenience and form of entertainment. Still, I was beginning to feel more and more disheartened and lonely. It was getting me down. When the book was published, I got an attractive job offer, and although it was very tempting, I chose adventure and packed my bags.
There are about 2 million people living in Manhattan. How can one feel lonely there?
New York is a competitive city. You have to spend most of your time working to afford to live there. And a downside of living among so many ambitious people is they're often overscheduled. Sometimes I didn't see my closest friends for months. Trying to negotiate a time to meet a friend for a chat was harder than getting into college. I know it's ironic to feel lonely in such a big city, but it seemed I spent my life staring at screens, laptop, phone, iPad. I was just fed up with that.
What's the island you're living on like?
It's really small. The island's main town, Cruz Bay, has just a few winding roads and a handful of open-air bars and restaurants. There are no traffic lights, no chain stores, and access to Wi-Fi is limited. Shoes are optional. We get everywhere on foot or by car, mainly in beaten-up Jeeps, because no one cares what kind of car you drive. We shower and wash our stuff in filtered rainwater, collected in cisterns attached to the house. I have plenty of time to see my friends, and on my days off, I hike, dive, or go boating to the nearby islands.
And where do you see yourself in the future?
That question reminds me of my job interviews. I was often asked, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" It always seemed a depressing notion to know what you'd be doing 5 years in the future. Lately, I've been thinking of moving somewhere entirely different. Europe, perhaps? There are so many places to go. Who knows where I'll end up? Living abroad has exposed me to a different approach to life, one in which you're not expected to settle down or tie yourself to a place by running a business or having a long-term contract.
And the last question. What message would you like to pass on to our listeners?
Well, many people aren't living in the moment. They're waiting for some indeterminate time in the future when they've saved up enough vacation days and money to take a trip somewhere. But if you're constantly longing for a vacation, maybe what you really want is a new life. You should seriously take this option into consideration.